The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. It's on page 966. The Escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Thanks be to God.
So, turkey, ham, holly, Brussels sprouts, carrots, gravy, cranberry sauce, bread sauce, crackers, Christmas tree, presents, stocking, Santa, Christmas pudding, brandy sauce. We have all these wonderful things, including one of my favourite satsumas. I've kept one here because I still like satsumas. And what does that point out to us, all those items? What do we think when we think of those things? We think of Christmas, don't we? And how much of that points to Jesus? Probably nothing. So we're going to look at Jesus today. We're going to look at his story. It's very exciting. It's a really good passage where Joseph has to take Mary and Jesus away in the middle of the night. It's an emergency. He's got to go. He's obedient. He goes off on a very difficult journey. And it's all in the Bible. It's all true. So let's look at that together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We just ask you to be with us as we look at this passage together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at our journey. Jesus was just born. And he's born in Bethlehem. We know the story. We've been looking at that over the last week or so at Christmas time. It's a wonderful birth. We had angels telling and declaring Jesus' birth to all the shepherds. And then the Magi come from the east and they come and visit Jesus. And they come via Herod and find the way. They're so anxious to meet this new king. And they come bearing gifts. And Jesus is taken and probably taken to Jerusalem. And he's circumcised on the correct day. And he's brought back. And then the Magi go back. And they return home a different way, being told not to go and see Herod. All this took a bit of time. Jesus was probably, by then, a year, year and a half. He may even have been just coming on to two. And when they had heard, gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Well, I don't know what you think about that, but if you just think Joseph has just left his hometown and gone to Bethlehem to be registered, and suddenly in the middle of the night, he's told to get up and go in a dream. Well, he's a carpenter. The distance he's got to go to Egypt is about 230 miles. It's a long journey. Let's say he travels 10 miles a day, given a donkey and fair weather and safe roads. It's going to take 23 days, 23 days at least, for him to get there. It's not going to be an easy journey. I don't know whether any of you have traveled with a young child. We have, going back a long way. And if you've got an 18-month-year-old, or it's not easy traveling. The child can get ill. You don't get any sleep. It's exhausting. The child, you know, all sorts of things can happen. Does Joseph hesitate at all? Not at all. He doesn't hesitate. They actually leave that night, and they set on their way. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. You see, Herod was not a particularly nice guy. I'll just go back a bit. He'd been on the throne for 40 years. He was a nasty piece of work. And we know what's coming. We know that Herod is so threatened by the fact there's going to be a king who might rival him. He's going to go and seek out and try and find Jesus. And it was predicted by Hosea. It says, "Out of Egypt I called my son." It's from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son." Hosea means salvation, interesting enough. He lived in the northern kingdom, and he prophesied that just before the destruction of Israel. That was in 722 BC, before Jesus was born. Hosea had an interesting life. He had to marry a prostitute just to show that the northern kingdom, what they were doing in their relationship to God, they were ignoring him. So Herod decides that this is too much of a threat. I'm really worried. There's this king coming about. I don't like the sound of this. And what does he do? He decides to kill all the boys, 2 years and younger, in and around Bethlehem. It was total carnage. It must have been absolutely awful to have all those children being slaughtered. Herod, interestingly enough, comes from the line of Esau. He's an Edomite. Ezekiel 35:5 and Amos 1:11 speak of the Edomites. They carry perpetual hatred and wrath forever towards the Israelites. So Herod had no love for the Jewish people. He had no love for the Israelites. So he had no qualms at all in killing all those boys in Bethlehem. And then what was said through the prophet, this is verse 17, Jeremiah, was fulfilled. You see, Matthew, when he's writing to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, he's trying to convince the Jewish people that Jesus is the true Savior. And he's also pointing out the fact, through the prophets, that Jesus was predicted all the way along. And so it's very important. That's why he quotes these prophets, so that the Jewish people can really understand, and ourselves can understand, that Jesus was predicted and expected and planned for. In verse 18, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. In Genesis, Rachel dies giving birth to Benjamin, her youngest son, while on the road to Bethlehem. In the midst of her suffering, the midwife tries to comfort her with the news that she's having another son. In this way, her child is born, is both her cause of weeping and a hope for the future. Her first son was Joseph, and it appears from 1 Samuel that she died and was buried in the vicinity of Ramah. That's about 6 miles from Jerusalem, 6 to 8 miles from Jerusalem. Ramah was also the town, interestingly enough, when all the Jews were taken off to Babylon, they were all assembled in Ramah, and then they were taken off and exiled. So it's a place of mourning and sadness. And so it's often quoted when disasters take place, when things go badly. Rachel's weeping is quoted. Moses, in Moses' time, Pharaoh gave an order for all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile, but let every girl live. This is a saga with the Israelites where they lose their young children. So I was thinking about this now. You know, Herod's a nasty piece of work. God has planned for Jesus to come. We know that. We know that Jesus is coming. So it's all planned. Now he arrives in Bethlehem, and the angels are singing, and everybody comes to visit the baby Jesus. Why does God want Jesus to go down to Egypt? Because we know that Herod's a nasty piece of work, but we know that God's all-powerful. Perhaps Herod could just have a heart attack or something. You know, why can't Herod be got rid of? Why does Jesus have to do the moving? Why does? I was thinking this question over Christmas. You know, why did Jesus have to go? So I started to think of things possibly. Right, first of all, he went to test Joseph's obedience. Joseph was obedient. He was given a dream. He'd been obedient when he'd been told that Mary was expecting. He was betrothed to Mary. He didn't desert her. He stayed with her. Another dream comes, and Joseph was obedient. So he took Mary and Jesus, and he doesn't hesitate. So the next thing was, it was to ensure the safety of Jesus, because Herod was such a nasty piece of work, and he was all-powerful, he could do anything. So they wanted him out and away, so that was good, so they took him off to Egypt. Now, thinking back in Egypt, Moses was in Egypt, he was asked by God to go and save the Israelites from Egypt. They were rescued from slavery and bondage, and they were taken for 40 years through the wilderness to the promised land. So that makes sense. And then, well, Jesus, he was taken down to Egypt. He had to stay there probably for 3 or 4 years until Herod died. And Jesus then comes out of Egypt, and he comes out to rescue all mankind from the slavery and bondage, this time of sin, leading us on to heaven and salvation. You see, God wants us to be 100% sure that Jesus is the man and that we understand that he is our personal salvation. So everything in the Bible is always pointing towards Jesus. Let's give an example. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham waits till he's 100 before he can have a son. Has his wonderful son Isaac. And then when Isaac's grown up a little bit, God tells him to take him up onto the mountain, strap him up, build an altar, take a knife, and tells him to kill his son. At the last minute, the son is taken away and a lamb is placed in its place, pointing towards Jesus, because that's what Jesus did for us. Another time, the Passover, down in Egypt, the final plague. The blood of a lamb was put over the doors, and all the people with blood over the lamb over their doors, their firstborn was not killed by the angel of death. You see, God wants us to know that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. And the Bible keeps pointing towards that. So this is their route. They left Bethlehem, they went down to Egypt, about 230 miles, stayed there for a few years, and then they came back. And after Herod died, verse 19, 21, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are now dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. That was Joseph's next dream. He'd had three dreams about the moving of Jesus. And the new king was Archelaus. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, only for 2 years he was there, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. See, Archelaus, being the son of Herod, he was no nicer, no better. In actual fact, he was so bad and so awful that so many letters were written to Rome that he was taken away from that and put in somewhere like North Germany, I think, and he reigned there quietly in a backwater. But during those 2 years, Jesus did go back. Verse 23, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And this is could be a play on words. You see, in Isaiah 11:1, it says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, that's the father of David, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Well, in Hebrew, the word for branch is netzer. That is, they don't have vowels in Hebrew, so you have N-Z-R. And these letters are included in the word Nazareth. So when they were referring from Isaiah, Philip was referring to the fact that he was going to be coming to Nazareth. So what significance is all this? How does it affect us today? How does it affect you and me? Well, first thing I'd like just to go away with is that Jesus' birth is no accident. It was expected from the very beginning, from the creation of the world. God knew that Jesus was coming. Jesus knew that he was coming. The Holy Spirit knew that he was coming. So we can be confident that Jesus has come for us. It was predicted by the prophets. You see it many times in the books of prophets. There's Micah 5, there's Isaiah 9, all telling about the birth of Jesus. It was confirmed by the Magi who came. They came to see Jesus. They'd worked it out. They knew the scriptures backwards, forwards, and sideways. And that's why they had studied it and travelled such a long way. And that's why it's recorded. And Jesus was protected by God. When he was taken all that way down to Egypt, there was no doubt that he was going to be protected. It's dangerous roads. Very often they probably had to travel with a caravan to get there safely, because a lot of bandits on the way. But they got all the way down and all the way back with a young baby. And I'm sure Joseph found work down there as a carpenter, as he would have found work in Nazareth, and taught Jesus how to be a carpenter as well. So, the question on this last Sunday of 2015, I would like to ask you and myself. Next Sunday is 2016. How significant is Jesus in your life? How significant is Jesus in my life? There can be different stages. We can be walking on the margins. We can be saying, well, I know about Jesus. He seemed to be a pretty good man. Not sure about the rest of it. Or you could have decided that Jesus is who he says he is. You can have decided that Jesus has come to save you personally from your sin and to give you salvation, to cleanse you of all sin and make your soul white so that you're acceptable to God. Well, you can be that far. Well, what happens next? Is your life exactly the same, or is your life going to change? Is Jesus going to be allowed into your life? And for those of us who have been walking with Jesus for a number of years, how much of Jesus do we allow into our life? Do we allow all of Jesus into our life? Do we allow Jesus to run our life? Where are we? Are we up to 10%, 50%, 60%, 100%. How much of Jesus do you allow into your life? Because when you allow Jesus into your life, things happen. Just look at Joseph here. He's walking along quite happily being a carpenter. Suddenly an angel comes, tells him what's going to happen, and his life becomes a complete roller coaster. Well, if you take Jesus into your life, I'm not saying it's going to be a roller coaster, but I can promise you one thing, an awful lot of things start changing and happening. And God knows what is good for you and me. And he knows that if we put our trust in Jesus, our lives can change so much for the better. So why don't we pray over these next few days leading up to 2016 that we can get more of Jesus into our lives. We can walk more with Jesus. We can read more of the Bible. I'm not asking you to be more religious. You see, if you ask Jesus into your life, he will do it through the Holy Spirit. Not us trying to do it. Jesus will do it. So why don't we all ask, whatever stage we're at, ask for Jesus to do more with us in 2016. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Bible. Lord, we know we fail you in so many ways. We try and we fail, but it's only through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we are able to do your will. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Bible that points so clearly to who Jesus is. And we just ask, Lord, that you will walk with us this coming year, by our side, encourage us to be faithful and true and to learn more about you and to serve you and to shine with your light in all that we do, away from darkness and into light. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name.